Croeso.
Welcome to our audio guided tour of Pembrey. This is a place you probably think you know well, but there's always more to learn.
There's always more to discover, which is why our tour is called And. Megan found a stone which says And near Coat Farm when she came to explore Pembrey for the first time.
We're going to take you on a journey that sails above and beyond what you know.
Come on, let's get working, come on, let's get working, let's get all the jobs done.
It was an amazing summer day until there was a massive shipwreck with a door. I opened it and there was a beautiful sight. There was patterns everywhere, as pretty as a flower, beautiful like rainbows, as colourful as a colourful hot air balloon. My door at home is plain white and it's number 58. This little door is based on my door at home.
Why did we do a lot of work on doors at the start of the project, Shailen?
To open doors to the past.
Brilliant. And on my first day, when we were getting ideas for the project, I asked people if they could tell us something about Pembrey that other people in the class wouldn't know. And do you remember what you told me?
My front door was white.
It was, yeah. And that was how this project started, with us opening Shailen's front door and opening a door into the past.
This is where our journey begins.
The Gwyl Bwyllu Bach was a story about people in Pembrey who used to go down shipwreck and collect the loot from ships on Kevensey Down Beach. Some people from Pembrey Village would be climbing up Pembrey Mountain and lighting a bonfire to guide in the ships. Some people will be going to fetch the loot off the ships, and some people stay back just to make sure everything was clear and no one knew where they were.
Without this history, we might not be stood here today. In this pub car park outside, the Ship Aground Inn.
So why do you think this pub that was stood outside of, called the Ship Aground Inn, is called the Ship Aground Inn?
Maybe because the ships sailed across the sea but crashed near the Ship Aground Inn.
Yeah, I think that's quite possible. And especially because the land looked a lot different back then. Do you remember Miss Dawkins talking about that?
Yeah.
And saying that the land has changed and that the sea has gone further away. So the sea would have been a lot closer to where the Ship Aground Inn is now.
Yeah.
Do you think the hatchet men would have gone through the Ship Aground Inn with their loot, maybe?
Yes.
Do you think? And what kind of, can you imagine what they would look like? Can you describe to me what they would have looked like as they would be going through the Ship Aground Inn with
their... Sneaking.
Sneaking along, yeah. I can imagine it. So that's a really good scene, doesn't it? This location.
Yeah. This location sets a really good scene for our story.
Our journey into the past was a whole different world. It was beautiful, magical, spectacular.
Can you imagine hearing a big
boom
when the ships crashed into shore?
This was the perfect moment for the wreckers to run down to the ships with their hatchets to claim the treasure as their own.
Our trip to the beach and the mountain was like opening the stone to the past.
We are now going to release a balloon to celebrate Pembrey's rich history, including the hatchet men.
And innocent people who lost their lives and the tales the old trees and ancient walls of Pembrey would tell us if they could speak.
That isn't all we know about Pembrey Pass. We have lots more to show you.
We are going to start walking now, so follow us as we walk together. We'll update you with our discoveries.
Here's Rafe to play some music to take us on our merry way.
When I saw a shipwreck, by the side the sea was crashing against it. It looked like the rib cage of a human body. When the wind was blowing across the sand, it made it look like a sandstorm.
I liked walking down to the beach, but I didn't like going on the beach.
Yeah, it was a sandstorm, wasn't it? Can you describe what the sand looked like in the sandstorm on the beach?
Like, it was really windy, and when you're from a far distance, it looks like there's a sandstorm, and the sand is, and it looks incredible because the sand's going forward. It looks like it's floating above it. Sand on the ground.
It did look incredible, didn't it? And can you imagine what it would be like for the hatchet men if they got caught out in the rain? I don't think that they'd be like you guys rolling around in the ice puddles, but they might get caught in a heavy rainfall whilst they're leaving. And how do you think the hatchet men, because there'll be no central heating back in those days, they get home and they try and dry out after a heavy rainfall, how do you think that they would dry?
They would make a fire.
Yeah. Are you using what?
King Arthur cake.
My favourite part was when the fire got lit.
And what was it like when the fire got lit?
Nice and cosy and warm.
Lovely. And how did you light the fire?
We lit it with a King Arthur cake.
Fabulous. Rafe, can you describe to me what the fire was like?
The fire was crackling.
My house is up in the mountain, not far from where the hatchet people lit their fires. When I look out of my bedroom window, I can imagine going back 2,000 years ago and watching them run down the hill.
I walk down this road to school because this is where I live. You might spot my house, it's number 7.
And what does it look like so we can look out for it?
It's got lots of stones on it and it's got a white and gold door on.
At the end of this road is our school, Pembrey Primary School. It was built in 1969.
Long after the hatchet men dragged their loot across the land, that is now our playground.
Can you imagine when you're out at playing, at playtime, imagine the hatchet men carrying their Hessian sacks of cargo and treats across your playground?
Yes.
What an image. Can you describe to me what that looks like if you imagine it?
Maybe we could be running around and then they'll just come in our schoolyard and then we'll just see them carrying all their hatchets and stuff.
And do you think they'd be friendly then, or do you think they'd be scary?
I think they'd be scary.
Do you? And what about you?
I think they'd be scary.
Do you? Oh, wow. And what kind of treasures and cargo do you think they'd have?
They would probably have
like gold and silver.
Yeah.
And jewellery and like necklaces and stuff. And they might have some like coats and shoes.
Lots of exotic treats that they've taken from the ships.
They might have like gold and silver, like Ariana said, and they could have like rings, rum and stuff like that, and maybe keys.
Yeah.
Anything gold or silver they could find, possibly.
So in all of these ships in the olden days, Mr. Watkins told us that there was never any recording of treasures like gold and silver and diamonds and things like that recorded from the ships. But a lot of people think that there was gold and silver on the ships, but it wasn't recorded because you have to, if you report stuff that you find, you normally have to give it up. Do you think that there was stuff like that found on the ships and the hatchetmen kept it for themselves?
I think there was, and then they found it, and then they just took it back to wherever they live.
Well, they did find stuff because they used to chop people's fingers off, and then they just stole all of the like gold rings and all the cargo. So yeah.
Fab. So do you think that they did find treasures such as gold and things like that, but they didn't report it?
Yeah, that's my idea, because they didn't report it, because that's why they called the hatchet men. They just kept it
for themselves, you think?
Yes.
Oh. And what kind of cargo did they find apart from the gold and things and the story of the people at the hatchets? What other cargo?
Like food, beer, drinks, loads of wood.
So Robert, you had a bit of a fall on our trip, didn't you? Can you tell us what happened?
So I was running down the hill, and then because I was going down so fast, I went into the air and I face planted. So it really hurt, but I was still okay, and I wonder what the hatchet men would be like if they fell down the hill from going down to get all the treasures.
Yeah, or even if they fell carrying all the treasure, because it's quite heavy carrying all of that loot, isn't it?
Yeah, because they could have fallen down because there's so much treasure, and the children, they also helped as well, so they could have fallen down or broke one of their bones falling down the hill.
So you got an idea of how dangerous it might have been to have been a hatchet man.
Yeah, because you could get killed, you could you couldn't get kidnapped, you could get, people could go into your house to steal all the treasures that you stole, so secondhand is stolen.
Yeah, that's, I'd never thought of that.
Yeah, it could, you never know.
Mr. Watkins took us on a tour around Pembrey and we learned stuff on the way.
On our first stop, we learned that underneath the bridge used to be a big canal.
Boats used to take coal and food supplies along the canal. Coal is used to light fires.
And what's this picture in your book, Jack?
It's a King Arthur cake used to light fires without any coal or wood.
Can you explain to me what a King Arthur cake looks like?
It looks like a little wood mushroom, but it's black. And then if you crack it open, you can find wood inside it. So it's a good thing to have your flint and steel and rubber. Then we'll make a good fire.
Lovely. Who showed you how to use that?
Mr. Watkins.
What do you think the wreckers used them for?
To light the fire on the mountain to lead them in to the beach.
Fabulous.
This bridge is number 5. Mr. Watkins told me that underneath here used to be a canal.
This canal was used for boats that carry coal to Bury Port.
What kind of treasure did the hatchet men find, boys?
Lots of tropical fruit and the port.
Yeah, what kind of tropical fruits were there?
Bananas, pineapples, peaches, and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, maybe like pineapples as well, things like that. And just having a little look at these little shells that have been sewn into this Hessian. Why did we do that on the beach?
Because what happened was they used to do that when they were beginners of stealing stuff from boats and stuff.
Yeah, so they used to stitch the treasures that they found, didn't they, into Hessian sacks. Would they have stitched shells in, or what kind of things do you think that they would have stitched in to keep safe and secure and hidden?
Jewellery and stuff.
Yeah, like jewellery and gold.
I think that's how they hid the expensive treasure they found.
Yeah, I do too. So they stitched it in into the Hessian sacks using their stitching, a bit like we did with these lovely shells.
We've been thinking lots about treasure.
The hatchet men found lots of treasure.
We can learn a lot from the past and can tell us things about today, like treasure.
What treasure is this that you're holding, Ben?
It's a pirate steering wheel. I found it on Caerdydd Beach. And it's even though it's powerful a pirate steering wheel, it'll be my treasure forever.
And what do you like about it?
It's very precious and very rare.
Rafe, what's your treasured item?
A picture of me and my granddad and
What's in the picture? What's in the corner there? It looks like it's from a different country.
A China Hong Kong thingy that you bang.
It's a gong, isn't it? Yeah. Wow, there's lots of things. And why is this picture treasured to you?
Because my granddad's very special to me. That's
really lovely. What's your treasured item, Finley?
My teddy bear.
And why is it precious to you?
I had it when I was born.
Oh, and can you describe it to us?
It's soft, it looks cute, it has a little Santa hat on his head.
The music that we're about to listen to is a treasured item from Lycia. It was her piece of treasure that she brought in to share with the class. Can you tell us a bit more about this lovely recording?
It was music that my grandfather sang on, and every time I listen to it, it reminds me of him.
So it's something very precious that you find very treasured, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
We have explored what items are precious to us.
And what treasured smells, memories, people and experiences we would bottle up and treasure if we could.
We are now going to release a balloon to celebrate the hidden treasures of Pembrey.
But before we do, let us share with you some of our treasures.
Rabadon, my fleth wall going, well, guidò la vir an de frotan ai tel in ruin se chiada e braud o hid o hid pe bod am hallon vel grai i host ein dölchion dan la bron a host ein na drei hele ra
Let's continue on our quest past the Adeline Guest House, where Gavin, our filmmaker, has been staying during this project, and we will make our way towards the church.
Can you spot the number 5 outside the guest house?
Oh, we saw a number 5 quite a lot of times, didn't we, Liam, on our trip? Where did we see the number 5? Do you remember?
At the bridge at the Adelaide Guest House.
Yeah, and we found a puddle, didn't we? Do you remember outside the church?
Oh, yeah, where we found a puddle and there was like the little circle thing.
Yeah, and there were 5 of them in there, weren't there?
Yeah.
So these are my binoculars that you borrowed for our trip to the beach, Lewis. Can you tell me what you saw through the binoculars during that trip?
I saw the shipwreck and it looked like a crumbling wall.
You did? You saw the shipwreck before anyone else, didn't you? And you gave a really good description of it looking like a crumbling wall, which I really liked. What other things could you see through the binoculars?
Another city over the sea of the waves crashing.
Oh, wow. So you could see the crashing waves and beyond that, a city.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So on the beach we had a survival Bear Grylls moment. Do you remember that, Grace?
Yeah.
And what did you do that really helped out a couple of the boys that got themselves in a bit of a pickle?
They had to borrow my socks.
They did, didn't they? And because they were actually needing it, they needed it to survive, they didn't mind wearing your socks, did they? Can you describe what your socks were like that day?
Pink and stripy.
Lovely. You're very generous. You're a bit of a hero, aren't you, Grace, really? We aren't short of heroes in Pembrey, and here are a few of the children's.
My hero is my grandfather.
And what makes him a hero to you?
He was very kind to me when I was younger, and I don't really see him anymore because he died a few years ago.
Oh, that's a really precious memory though.
My hero is my mother.
And what makes your mum a hero?
She's a hero because she works for the Labour Party and she's always very busy working.
Very nice.
My hero is my mum.
And what makes her a hero?
She works in the hospital as a nurse and she saves people's lives.
Church, which has been here for many hundreds of years.
Can you describe to me what the church looks like, Hannah?
It looks really ancient and old.
It does, doesn't it? And can you imagine the kind of people that have been through the door to the church throughout the years in Pembrey? What kind of people do you think have stepped into this church?
I don't know.
Do you think the hatchet men have stepped in the church before, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah. And do you think Adeline, whose body is buried here near the grave that we're stood by, do you think that her coffin would have been carried through that door?
Probably.
Can you imagine it? And her funeral would have taken place in this church.
Yeah. More stories have a hero. In this story, the hero is a little less obvious.
It is. And who is the hero of our story?
Adeline and all the hatchet men.
This is quite a precious tribute that I found in Thomas Ashby's book, which he's dedicated to Adeline. If you want to read it, Thomas.
Sorry you are gone, Miss Adeline, who is travelling back from Martinique in the West Indies with her father Napoleon. We are very sorry for your loss.
Why did you write that lovely piece for Adeline?
Because of the respect the people, the little hatchet people, the people with the little hatchets showed when they found out they killed her.
Yeah. Do you think they were really sad when they realised that accidentally that they'd lost the child, life of a child?
Yes, I think they were.
Yeah.
They must have been a little bit... must have been a little bit... selfish, yeah. Selfish for doing what they should... what their heart felt like. They didn't know that the ship was a precious ship. It was carrying a niece of the emperor.
Yeah.
They had no sign of it.
And what do you think makes a hero? Because we did a lot talking about heroes in this story, and we decided who the ultimate hero in our story was, didn't we? And who did we decide that was?
Adeline. Because of the way she was brave enough to go on that ship all the way from Martinique in the West Indies, trying to travel to France.
Yeah. But
the captain he didn't know where he was lost.
Yeah.
He saw the light. Adeline was brave to go on the boat to try and help her father get back from where they were.
And we talked about heroes being strong and courageous, didn't we?
Yeah.
And do you think that Adeline is strong and courageous?
Yeah.
Even though she died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She probably was, because she wouldn't have made it that long on the boat if she didn't try.
So I'm here with
Cameron, Lacey, Toby.
And we're just talking about a session that we did last week, all about heroes. How did we make our hero shadows last week, Lacey?
We had this piece of card and one person had to lay down, and the other person who was drawing, they had to draw around the person, and that's how we made our shadow.
We did, and then we kept standing up and looking down into our hero shadows, and then using big marker pens, we were filling in our hero shadows with all different information about what makes us a hero. The first thing we did was looking at the heroes that have come before us, the heroes in our family, and why they're heroes to us. Cameron, who was your hero?
My dog, Benji.
And what makes Benji heroic?
When you come and buy him, he comes and helps you and he's very nice to anyone.
So he's kind and affectionate, and that really does make a nice hero, doesn't it? What about you, Lacey?
My hero is my mum, because she, since when I was little, she used to read story books before I went to bed.
Lovely. So she's also really kind and really affectionate. Makes a nice hero, doesn't it? And what about you, Toby? Who's your hero?
My cousin, because he's really strong and helpful.
Oh, that's nice. Good to have someone like that to look up to, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we also started looking at famous superheroes, such as the classics, like Batman, didn't we? And some other people like that. Who was your hero, Toby, your famous hero?
Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool. So I didn't know who Deadpool was before this project. And we looked at heroes earlier in the day in the story. Do you remember who the main hero in the story of the people with the hatchets is, who we really think was the hero?
Adeline.
Adeline, yeah. And why was she the hero in our story, Cameron?
Because she was from France.
and she ended up on Pembrey Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was only really young, wasn't she? And she would have had to have been quite strong and courageous, do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. And then we also looked into our hero shadows, and we decided to look at things about ourselves that make us heroes or make us have heroic tendencies, didn't we? And what kind of heroic things have we done? So, Cameron, what heroic thing have you done?
When my friend is in trouble, I'm always there to help them.
Oh, that's really kind and heroic. Generous to be around. Yes, really nice.
Yes.
So what about you, Lacey?
At home, I help my sister with her homework and we play outside together.
Brilliant. So you're a helpful hero. What about you, Toby?
When Mum's having trouble cleaning the car, I help her. And things like that.
Really thoughtful heroes we've got here. Very honoured to be among these heroes, just a very small selection of the heroes in year four. And then at the end of the session, we stood in front of our shadows, didn't we? And we read out what makes us heroes, the people that have come before us, the people we look up to, and our heroic tendencies as well. So you guys are the heroes of the future of Pembrey, do you think? Yeah?
I would like that.
As you walk up this hill, do you remember the fun day you had with Mr. Watkins?
Yeah, we lit fires, we ran down the hill, and we found lollipop sticks in the flower pot what the other group planted.
Oh, do you remember any of the messages that they left for you?
I had one that said, enjoy the view, and I think there's one saying, I hope you're happy.
That's really nice. What a lovely message to the people of Pembrey. Really thoughtful messages to plant beautiful flowers and leave messages. What do you think Pembrey is going to be like in the future? Can you imagine the future in like 20 years' time or 100 years' time? What do you think Pembrey will look like?
Probably all dull colours.
Do you think? All greys?
Yeah, no trees or anything.
No trees? No?
Just, don't know, I can't imagine it, but that's what it would probably be like.
And I guess eventually the shipwreck will completely disappear, because it's already disintegrating, isn't it, a bit?
Yeah.
So do you feel quite lucky that you've got to see it in your lifetime?
Yeah. So when I'm older then, it'll be my childhood.
It will, yeah.
Now,
Rafe, can you tell me how we make a fire sound effect?
We use paper and we scrumpled it up, and you can cut it as well with some scissors.
Do you want to have a go with this paper and Robert?
Okay, Robert. Everything was bright and looked like a rainbow. We were astonished, but feeling very curious about the shipwreck, we decided to go in.
Dun, 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 dun!
Walking into the ship, we saw a very peculiar looking thing.
Grace, tell me about your favourite part of the project.
Planting flowers.
Can you tell me what you did?
We had to take flowers and put them out and put them on the secret path and then write some notes on it.
So you're writing notes for people in the future, weren't you? For people to discover about your trip. And what did you write on your notes?
Enjoy running down.
Enjoy running down the hill. What a nice message. So people who've gone up there, even adults, sometimes you just want to run down a hill and it makes you feel alive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It makes you feel really good. Brilliant.
We also learned that today could impact and change the future. This is where our journey begins.